This video is made possible by, well, me. Go check out the companion video to this one on my new channel BioArk next after watching this. Earthquakes are one of the world's worst forms of natural disasters. Out of the top 10 worst natural disasters in the history of our species, half of them are earthquakes. And throughout all of human history, there have been 3 earthquakes devastating enough to have potentially claimed the lives of more than 300,000 people. The 1556 earthquake in Shangji, the 1920 Haiyuan earthquake, and the 1976 Tangshan earthquake. All 3 of these happened in China, but it wasn't until the 2010s that the Western Hemisphere saw an earthquake that was potentially just as devastating. This is a map of the world's tectonic plates centered over the Caribbean region. The Caribbean plate here and the North American plate here have been slowly moving past each other for millennia across their intersection point, which just happens to run directly along the island of Hispaniola, which is shared between the Dominican Republic in the east and Haiti in the west. Because of this, Hispaniola is very tectonically active and has been prone to earthquakes for centuries. While Haiti was still a colony of France, massive earthquakes effectively leveled the capital city of Port-au-Prince twice in 1751 and then again in 1770. There were further massive earthquakes that caused tremendous damage across the island in 1842 and then again in 1946. By the beginning of the 21st century, the movements of the Caribbean and North American plates here were all set up to generate another quake, and on the 12th of January 2010, it finally happened. The Caribbean plate had a fault, which had been building up stress against the North American plate for the past 250 years, and it finally ruptured, which caused an enormous amount of energy to be released in the form of an earthquake, which lasted approximately 30 seconds. The level of destruction caused in just those 30 seconds, however, was unbelievable. The government of Haiti officially estimates that as many as 316,000 people within the country were killed, though this figure is a matter of intense dispute among the international community. Other foreign sources place the death toll at anywhere between 100,000 and 160,000, which are still incredibly and sorrowfully high figures. Between these estimates, anywhere between 1 and 3% of Haiti's population perished from just these 30 seconds of destruction. But regardless of how many people died as a direct result of the quake, millions of people within Haiti were severely negatively affected. 250,000 homes, as well as 30,000 commercial buildings, were completely destroyed. Up to $8.5 billion worth of damage was done to the country of Haiti by the quake, or approximately 75% of their entire GDP at the time. As measured on the Richter scale, the earthquake that caused all of this enormous damage and loss in life measured a 7 out of 10. Powerful, but not unusually so. In 1989, a magnitude 7 earthquake also struck the city of San Francisco in the United States, which only claimed the lives of 63 people, a far cry from the hundreds of thousands of victims in Haiti. So what was it then about the earthquake in Haiti that made it so vastly more destructive and deadly? It's really a long and sad story of racism, prejudice, and economic injustice. First of all, what does it mean for an earthquake to have a magnitude of 7.0? When measuring earthquakes, scientists will use a device that's known as a seismometer that's basically just a really sensitive instrument that measures the shaking of the ground beneath it, and then turns those readings into a number. Any magnitude between 7.0 and 7.9 is considered a major earthquake, and during most years, there will actually be about 20 of these around the globe. Anything 8.0 and above is considered a great earthquake, which only occurs about once every 5 to 10 years. And while the difference between a 7 and an 8 may appear to only be a single digit, it's important to remember that the Richter scale is measured logarithmically. So this means that for every increase by 1.0 on the Richter scale, it means an earthquake is actually 10 times stronger. If you want to think about it more technically in terms of pure energy unleashed by tectonic plates, each whole number increase on the scale equates to 32 times more energy released. In 2010 alone, there were 16 other earthquakes that took place around the world, which were stronger on the Richter scale than the one that struck Haiti, including a magnitude 8.8, which struck Chile, the sixth strongest earthquake to ever strike the world since 1900. But despite this, 97% of all the fatalities from earthquakes in the year 2010 were all concentrated in Haiti. The first part of the explanation as to why the Haiti earthquake was so particularly devastating has to do with the incredibly unfortunate location of the earthquake's epicenter, or the place where it started. Right about here, approximately 25 kilometers southwest of the capital city, Port-au-Prince, a very densely populated urban center that was home to 25% of Haiti's entire population. Further, the earthquake also struck just 10 kilometers beneath the surface. That sounds like it's pretty deep underground, but for earthquakes, it's pretty shallow. For reference, the 8.8 magnitude quake which struck Chile in the same year took place approximately 35 kilometers beneath the surface. But beyond the earthquake itself and its unfortunate epicenter, there were things about the country of Haiti and her history specifically that greatly exacerbated the level of destruction. Hundreds of years ago, Haiti was set up by the French as a sugar plantation colony, and thousands of slaves were brought in from Africa to till the fields. Sugar and slavery made Haiti one of the world's wealthiest colonies of the time, but the chaos of the French Revolution gave the slaves of Haiti a unique opportunity. They revolted, and after 12 years of rebellion, Haiti was declared as a sovereign and independent republic. Haiti defied the odds and became the very first country in the world to abolish slavery, and the only state in history that was established by a successful slave revolt, and the world was terrified. Britain didn't recognize Haiti for nearly 30 years after independence, while the United States wouldn't recognize Haiti's sovereignty until the beginning of the Civil War in 1862, nearly 60 years after their independence. France eventually sent ships over to reconquer Haiti and, put under pressure, the Haitian government was forced to sign a treaty which gave France steep reparations payments in exchange for recognition. These enforced reparation payments hurt and set back the Haitian economy for decades, which was further exacerbated by the fact that most Western nations and banks refused to do any kind of business with them for a very long time. In the end, Haiti had to borrow from Western banks at incredibly high interest rates in order to repay their debt to France. By 1900, 80% of Haiti's GDP was being spent specifically on repaying this debt, and they wouldn't fully pay off their debt to France until 1947. During the First World War, the United States invaded the country in 1915 and occupied it for decades until 1934, and for decades afterwards, Haiti was rife with political instability and corrupt dictatorships, all the way until 1986. All of this history has, unsurprisingly, caused Haiti to be among the most impoverished nations in the world and the poorest in the Americas. Therefore, in the decades preceding the earthquake, more and more Haitians began moving towards urban environments like the capital of Port-au-Prince and other large cities around the country looking for economic opportunity. In fact, before the earthquake occurred in 2010, 50% of the population of 10 million people lived specifically within this densely populated area concentrated around Port-au-Prince, right near to where the earthquake's epicenter struck. This increased population density led, of course, to more urban housing. And that leads us into our next major problem, building codes. Or, as it were, the lack of building codes. The staggering level of poverty inside of Haiti very often means that there's a lack of governmental oversight in things, which leads to people building stuff where they want, how they want, and without much restrictions. In cities like Port-au-Prince, many people live within poor and densely packed shantytowns constructed out of cheaper materials like cement, dirt, and mixtures of twigs and branches. Further, this is often worsened by contractors cutting corners and even building upon unsound ground, without any consideration for a proper foundation, and also by a sheer absence of engineers or architects. One of the many building codes that was summarily ignored was building earthquake-proof buildings. In order to earthquake-proof a building, it can be built out of more robust and flexible materials that can absorb shock from earthquakes to prevent damage. However, to engineer buildings like this and to build with appropriate materials can increase the cost of a construction project by 10 to 20%. And for most Haitians, any added costs like this to their homes was simply not possible, as 72% of them live on less than $2 a day. So, this meant that urban centers within the country ended up being built like concrete death traps. Multi-story buildings cracked and collapsed down upon themselves, trapping and killing the people residing within them. And it's hard to tabulate just how many buildings collapsed. 60% of the country's hospitals were destroyed, along with 80% of its schools. All but just one of Haiti's government buildings were destroyed. The major airport near Port-au-Prince was heavily damaged and effectively only halfway operational immediately afterwards. And roads leading into and out of the city were barely traversable at all. With all of this crippling damage to the country's infrastructure, it was impossible for Haitian officials to organize any kind of efficient response and rescue mission. Haiti was simply unable to act quickly as it just didn't have the resources to act. And it took time to get outside help to actually come in. Outside organizations like the United Nations already held a significant presence in Haiti, but many of its staff and key workers were killed or injured when their buildings collapsed too. And without senior leadership, additional UN staff from outside of the country were slow to get started. And the 10,000 US soldiers that arrived to restore transportation links were met with bewilderment, since most victims just wanted to see doctors and obtain medicine and food for their families. But to make matters even more severe, UN peacekeepers deployed to the island probably and accidentally introduced cholera to Haiti's primary river, which led to a widespread cholera outbreak that even further exacerbated the damage from the earthquake. 2010 was just one of the worst years in all of Haiti's entire history. And despite over $13 billion in aid that has been delivered to the country in the year since from foreign governments and individuals, the last decade has been a real struggle for Haiti, and the effort to rebuild continues on to this day, with hundreds of thousands dead, several hundred thousand more injured, and nearly 1.5 million left homeless. It certainly was one of the world's worst natural disasters. And Haiti still requires help. Natural disasters are often exacerbated by the human factor. And on the other side of the world, another disaster is currently taking place, albeit in slow motion. Australia is facing death by 1,000 paper cuts. Or really, death from 100 million hopping herbivores, which were introduced by humans over the past century. The devastation the Australian ecosystem and its native inhabitants have been facing over the 100 years since is almost incalculable. And if you want to learn more about what is happening to the country and the response to the invasion, check out this video next on my new channel BioArc, where I dive deep into Australia's invasive species problem. The link is down in the description if you're interested, and as always, thank you for watching.